Rose is your name, but when you poop, it sure don't smell like roses. You're number two, burns the hair in my nose. But we fought hand in paw, now your poop don't stink at all. Now that the air is clear, I'll treasure your front and rear, my sweet rose.
Instantly neutralize poop stink with Poop Fighter from World's Best Cat Litter for the world's best cat.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever and wherever it is that you're listening to us, we want to thank you in advance. We as fans have always appreciated your input as fellow fans. When you're happy, we're happy. When you're upset, we are too. But sometimes we're just a little bit more honest. We are the Bastards of Boston Baseball. You can find us on Twitter at Bastards_Boston. I am your host, Charlie Smith, coming to you from Los Angeles, California. You can find me on Twitter at Smith_MLB. Our other hosts for this episode are Terry Cushman, coming to us from Myrtle Beach in South Carolina by way of Windham, Maine, and Cody Paulson rejoining us again, coming to us from Houston, Texas by way of Ponte Vedra, Florida. Cody, how are you and where can the fans find you on Twitter?
Hey, everybody. How are we doing? Everybody can find me on Twitter at TheCodyPaulson. I'm doing well, Charlie. How about yourself?
No complaints. Terry, how are you and where can the fans find you?
You can find me on Twitter at CushmanMLB. I have been causing an unusual amount of mischief lately on that account, so go check it out. Dan Shaughnessy quote tweeted me a couple weeks ago, and the Bluminati were just humping me all day long on Twitter. It was quite the day.
It was for sure interesting. I do remember seeing that retweet. And yes, there were a couple of people that I think were just a little jealous that Shaughnessy didn't retweet them. That might be just my opinion, but somehow I don't think it's just going to be mine. Terry, with all that fun stuff going on, you did great leading us off. Why don't you do it again? You do pretty well from the leadoff spot.
Chubby guy in the leadoff spot again. Let me get to it. I am going with Roberto Gee, I think is how he pronounces it. I could be wrong. He says Hernandez and Duvall with the in parentheses reluctantly. So he trading Duvall is hard for him, apparently. He says Hernandez, Duvall in a decent, not primo prospect for a decent starter. And I'm assuming that's a starting pitcher. Now, here's the problem with that. Hernandez and Duvall are on one-year deals. So a team isn't going to deal a starting pitcher if they're trying to contend with two rental guys. It just doesn't make sense. A team that needs Kike is probably looking for an outfielder who can defend, you know, above average. And then Duvall has, you know, he was on the 2021 Braves championship team, so has a little bit of a championship pedigree there. That's not a team that's going to give up a starter, unfortunately. Let me also add, because we haven't really mentioned this on any other episode, if the Red Sox are in fact buyers, and we are trending that way, we've got another cupcake series against Oakland. There's a Cubs series that the Red Sox should take two out of three in. A couple of tougher ones after that. But should the Red Sox be buyers, Bloom really needs to target a pitcher that has at least another year of control beyond this year. I don't want to see big-name prospects, you know, like a Blaze Jordan type guy. I'm assuming Meyer and York are untouchable, but I don't want to see our higher end guys traded for just a rental. Give us somebody that's controllable. And next winter's free agent market isn't super robust. I know Aaron Nola is in it. Some people are really high on him. I'm not, but Lucas Giolito is a free agent next year. Blake Snell is a free agent. You know, those are guys that are okay and could certainly help a rotation, especially in terms of durability. Nola and Giolito, very durable, you know, so that would break the trend this year. But But please, if we are going to be buyers, give us somebody controllable. We don't need any rentals. I don't want to lose any prospects over rentals.
Cody.
Terry, you nailed it right on the head, right? As much as buyers as we can be this year, you know, I think I might be one of the more optimistic guys on the podcast. I don't think we're contending, right? Okay, Charlie, you can calm down with those facial expressions. But yeah, you can absolutely ship those guys out, right? If it's Hernandez, if it's Duvall, a mid-level prospect, I'll pack the bags myself. As long as it's somebody that can be here for a couple of years, help us build towards the future. It could even be your number three or number four starter, but a guy that's going to be able to be reliable. You know, I think, again, Terry mentioned it with the free agent market not being that great this year, and all of those guys that could be coming in the door in the offseason are going to come with high price tags as well, right? And that hasn't been the MO of this front office for this past couple of years, especially in the pitching domain, no less. So I don't think, you know, losing Hernandez or Duvall would particularly hurt you. It's just, you know, what are going to be those prospects that are walking out the door?
You guys brought up a lot of really great points, and I just want to sum it up. If you're reluctant to give up Duvall, I hope you're reluctant to get a good starter or something good. Hernandez has been anything but great so far this year. He's been an awesome recruiter. No questions there, but that's kind of where that great part ends. Duvall has not been the same since his injury. And if the idea is to sell someone at their highest point, then you missed your boat pre-injury. You're not going to get anything for those two. Roberto, I appreciate the sentiment, the idea, but it's not going to happen. And Cody brought up a couple of points. Definitely one of the more positive guys in the podcast. No question there. We are the fifth best team in the American League East. We are better than the leaders in the AL Central. Back the AL East going through the Central are in 1 through 10 order, which is wild. Just goes to show you how weak the Central is and truthfully how strong the AL East is. And while we're only a couple games out of a wild card spot, we are again one problem away from having everything get derailed again. And I think we need to be smart and kind of reset it. And this might be the year to do that by trading pieces away. Terry and Cody both look like they got something to say. Terry, why don't you go ahead?
I'm just going down the top 25 in ERA this year. And obviously I'm not going to go through all of them right now, but most of them aren't going to be moved. You know, Dane Dunning not going anywhere. He's with the Rangers. Sonny Gray won't be traded because the Twins are contending. It's a terrible division, but they're not going to deal him. The only two people in the top 25 right now that are movable is Marcus Stroman, who's a free agent at the end of the year. So again, he's a rental. I want to stay away from rentals if they're going to be costly. I don't want to move any serious prospects for a rental. Another guy, I could totally see Bloom doing this. He's having a great year. I don't know if he's got any. He won't be super expensive. So this is the type of a rental guy I think the Red Sox could get. Jordan Montgomery from the St. Louis Cardinals has a 3.23 ERA, a whip of 1.22. He's 6-7 on the year and 18 starts. You know, wins and losses don't really mean much, but that's the type of rental that shouldn't cost a ton. Let me flip over for 25 through 50. Let me just see if anyone jumps out at me. Lucas Giolito rental. No, thank you. Let's see. Oh, Shane Bieber could be on the block. He might have an extra year of control, actually, but that's going to be costly. And he's not the strikeout guy he used to be either. But that's about it. You'd have to go all the way down to number 49, Anthony DeSclafani. And the Giants are contending. So I don't think they'd want to part with, you know, any of these guys. So just saying, it's not a great market out there.
It's sadly just not our year. It's just not our year. And I think you're going to have to cut your losses and you know, cut bait here. This is just not our year. You're seeing a lot of other teams do a lot more with eons less. It's a product of how well those teams have been doing this year. I'm not going to take anything away from them. They've been doing great. They deserve all the credit that they've had. We've just been, unfortunately, in a really bad streak of a lot of things going wrong all at the same time. Hopefully things turn around, but 2023 just isn't going to be that year where things start to do that, unfortunately. That's just statement of fact. Cody, why don't you go second with your hot take?
So this hot take comes from the Josh Winkowski aficionado at Red Sox on JST. They say Red Sox sell even with current momentum, and Turner, Jansen, Duvall, Martin, and Hernandez are all gone by August 2nd. Lot to unpack there. I don't even know if we can cover it all, but to punt on pretty much all of those names would undo all of the work of the last offseason, if not the last couple, right? You know, Turner's having a resurgence here. We talked about that on the last podcast. You know, he's been on fire as of recently. Jansen's close to 20 saves at the break. He's been locked down. You know, Martin's been everything and more from what you could have hoped for, right? An eighth inning guy, set it and forget it. I think he's got a sub two ERA at this point. Duvall was on fire to start the year, had that unfortunate injury, and is kind of finding his way back. And, you know, as Charlie has often brought up, Hernandez, you know, his best ability might be a recruiter at this point, but hey, look who is brought in the door. And to get rid of all of these guys would be, unless, you know, they're all going to, you know, Anaheim for a certain player named Shohei, I can't even think of what returns these individual players would get, and I don't know why Los Angeles would do that trade either. I mean, hey, we'd take it if that was the opportunity, but I can't even think of scenarios that would pop up to where you can move those players to get enough in return to turn the team calendar year over to 24 with promise.
Terry.
Let's see, I'm spacing out here. Whose hot take was that again, Cody?
So that's
that was the Josh Winkowski aficionado.
Yep.
Okay.
So Red Sox sell even with the current momentum and Turner, Jansen, Duvall. Yeah.
Okay. So I don't think, I mean, Duvall could go because he's expendable. There's no way Jansen's going, in my opinion, because I really feel like the Bloom is just under the gun. If he has to sell, he's not coming back next year. All the picks he made in the draft tonight were for the next GM. If he ends up being a seller, I don't think he survives the season if he is. And when you look at the Red Sox schedule here, I kind of went through it a second ago. I know we have Chicago right away. Then we fly out to Oakland for just one series. And then after that, you have the Mets, who have been trash. Let's face it. You got the Braves for two games. Then you've got the Giants. This isn't a tough July. It's really not. That last week, I guess, could be tough. The two games, they're going to be at Fenway for what that's worth against the Braves. But then you go west, and, you know, you got the Giants for three. Not a hitter's park by any means. One of the worst ones in Major League Baseball. And what day is the deadline? Is it August 1st or 2nd? It's the 2nd. So you're going to have, let's see, you're going to have the Mariners on July 31st, and then you're going to have game two of that series on August 1st. So only that final week is tough. So I can't imagine a scenario where the Red Sox are five games above and then we end up being sellers. I think we're going to be buyers. So Jansen and all those players mentioned in the hot take, I think, are going to stay put.
I apologize. So just according to a couple of different sources, it looks like August 1st is the deadline, not August 2nd. So I apologize. Okay. I holding up the second for the second, but it was it looks like it's the first.
So that's one game against the Mariners, but that's still six games, and four out of those six are out west.
Right. So here's the thing. Terry usually starts it off with, here's the bad news. The Red Sox, like Terry already kind of talked about it, if the Red Sox end up being sellers, which I do think they will be to some degree, I don't think even though the Red Sox were able to win, was eight of their last nine games, they took two out of three against Texas, they swept Toronto, they swept Oakland. Oakland's a joke. Toronto has been struggling immensely. Taking two out of three from Texas is pretty impressive, including one against your former guy, who's been the guy in the American League this year. If you were to trade all those pieces, you know, you mentioned Turner, Jansen, Duvall, Martin, Hernandez. I don't think you're trading Turner. If you trade Jansen for whatever reason, you're throwing in the towel. Martin becomes your de facto closer. Now you have no eighth inning guy.
He's going too. If Jansen's going, Martin's going.
Everybody's going. Exactly. That's the thing. Yeah. Is everybody going? I don't think you're going to get a trade partner for Kike. So that's not happening. So that's why I think there's too many names there. Justin Turner's been elite. I really don't want him going anywhere. I think it would send an awful message to anybody who's considering coming to Boston. Like, oh, things are going bad after, you know, 6 minutes. Everyone's gone. We're just going to start trading everybody away. And let's not forget, Kike Hernandez is the reason Justin Turner, Kenley Jensen, Chris Martin are all playing there. Literally, you can thank him for three guys on that team. Thank him. Go ahead and do it. So not only are you saying, thank you, Kike. Goodbye, Kike. Goodbye, all the people that you brought over to. We're just going to pretend this era never happened. Like 6 minutes of baseball with all these guys never happened. It's just, it seems too much of a, you know, of a far cry there. I think the Red Sox could try to potentially buy a piece or and whatnot. But here's the thing. You know, Terry talked about the schedule a little bit. Again, we ended the first half on a high note. You get to see the Oakland Athletics again right after, which is fun, but you do have some tough games, even though July is going to be tough. Atlanta's only a two-game set, but come August, you're facing, I mean, teams that are damning. You got a 10-game stretch against the Houston Astros and the Dodgers, and then after a three-game set with KC, you face Tampa Bay, Baltimore again for six. So while July is going to be cushy, warm, and fuzzy, August is going to be brutal, painful, and full of Kleenex. So, you know, say what you want to say, but it's you can't get rid of all those guys. I don't think Bloom is long for the Red Sox either. Terry, something you want to add?
So the first half of August isn't bad. I mean, we're 7-0 against the Blue Jays. We got a three-game set against them. You got four games against KC, three against Detroit, three against the Nationals. So that takes you through August 17th. Then it gets tough. We've got a good record against the Yankees. I'm assuming they're probably going to be tougher next time around. Sounds like they're about to fire their hitting coach, so who knows what that'll be. Judge, I'm guessing, maybe might be back by then, even though there's still no timetable. But then Charlie, like you said, it ramps up insanely after that. You got a four-game set against the Astros in Houston. The Dodgers come to Fenway for three. Then you got a three-game set against the Astros at Fenway. Then you flip over to September. You do start the month with a cupcake series against the Royals, but then it's a gauntlet. You got the Tampa Bay Rays for three, the Orioles for three, the Yankees for four, the Blue Jays for three, the Rangers for three. That one's going to be in Texas. White Sox for three. They took two out of three against us. And then you end the year with Tampa and Baltimore. That's a brutal month. That's probably the most.
That's awful.
That's the most brutal month of the year.
That's awful. And here's the thing, guys. If we get close and you get close to sniffing it and you end up losing by a game, all that work we did, adding those pieces, would have been for nothing. For literally nothing. And here's the thing. You're two games out now. And we can, you know, say, great, July is going to be cupcake. First half of August are going to be great. In less than 2 weeks, in less than a week, I remember the Red Sox were, you know, X games over 500. In a week's time, they were back to 500. I mean, it took you a month and a half to get X amount of games over 500. And in a week's time, you lost that whole thing. You lost six in a row or 8 out of 9 or 9 out of 10, whatever it was, to the point where you're 8, 9 games over 500, back to 500. And end of the year is going to be really hard, guys. It's going to be very difficult. Tampa Bay and Baltimore have been two of the hottest teams. And at one point, were the best two teams in Major League Baseball before Atlanta asked us kindly to hold their beer. Terry, what else do you want to add?
So if the Red Sox make the playoffs and then they get bounced right away, is that good? Like, is that a successful season? Are we happy with that? Because I'm not. Like, if the season ended today, let's just pretend it's the Red Sox in the third wild card spot and not the Blue Jays. We would play Cleveland. And we've won a series against them, and we've lost a series against them. That's why I'm like, I just want Bloom to be fired. I want a smart GM in there who's going to make really good baseball moves. I want a GM in there that resembles, you know, the three before Haim that won a combined 4 championships. That's what I want. And my biggest fear is, we'll make the playoffs, we'll get bounced, and then next July we'll be debating on whether we're buyers or sellers again, you know, being in 4th or 5th place. I just, the insanity, this is just not good for my mental health.
Yeah, it's been tough. Cody, you've been awfully quiet. Are you starting to not be as positive? Or?
I mean, if we were, you know, as Terry just kind of mentioned in that hypothetical, right, if we were to sneak into that third wild card spot, which was my preseason prediction, I think all of us would take that, right? You know, sure, it isn't going to be a deep run in the playoffs, although if we get Cleveland, who knows? But given the way that the season has gone, given the way that we talked about them in the offseason, I think any sort of postseason or playoff appearance would have been a win, and we would have taken it day one, given the opportunity.
It does nothing for me.
it's going to be fun. I know we got a couple other hot takes on here. This one comes from our very own Face the Facts 15, Nick Face. James Paxton gives you 12 or more wins this season with a low 3 ERA. Nick, no commas in there, so I'm assuming that you mean 12 wins total and not 12 wins after the All-Star break. If that were your take, hold crap, you would have the best starter of all time in the second half ever. Let's be real here with James Paxton. I think everybody in Red Sox Nation owes this man an apology. Guy's been absolutely stellar. He's already had a sub-3 ERA, has a sub-1 whip, at least before his last appearance. The guy has been absolutely incredible. Absolutely insane. A sub-1 ERA, a sub-2.75 ERA. He's 5-1. 7 wins after the All-Star break. Assuming he doesn't get injured, why not? I mean, sure, I could see him getting 12. But I can also, unfortunately, see him getting 12 total wins and not on the Red Sox, which is really, really difficult, guys. I'd love to see James Paxton get 12 all with the Red Sox and stay with the team for this year, especially since we were incredibly patient. We paid him last year. He didn't even throw a pitch. And now he's doing damage. I mean, we're looking at five of his last six appearances have been quality. He's only had one blip, if you can call it that, in his last 8 starts. And that was a brutal one against LA. But since that game in late May, he has been lights out. You've seen that ERA drop from 5.14 to 2.73. He's won 4 games in that stretch and arguably probably should have won the other 2 games that he didn't get wins for. So he very well could be 7-1 right now. It's just, it's insane. But yeah, I definitely think it's possible. Cody, why don't you weigh in a second?
I mean, this might be the least least hot take that we've gotten in the comments for tonight's show. I think it is very feasible. You know, as Charlie mentioned, we've been incredibly patient with James Paxton, and you know, with an injury history that he has, and the performance that he's been giving us in the front half of the season, I'm glad that he, you know, didn't rush back, didn't, you know, try to get to the mound, you know, to silence the haters, to fend off that pressure, and, you know, was smart to listen to his body, because, you know, the best availability is availability. And, you know, not only has he been available, but he's been reliable. Him has been everything we could have ever hoped for, and then some, since he's come back, right? You know, every time he looks a little weird, or every time he looks a little queasy, we're like, oh no, you know, what is it? We're so used to this guy kind of falling apart, and knock on wood, it hasn't happened. So, you know, I think they're going to keep on keeping on. The offense seems to pick him up when he pitches. So I think, you know, 7 extra wins in the second half of the season, hopefully they are for us. And how wild is it that we're sitting here at the trade deadline, be like, man, we hope we retain James Paxton's services. Talk about things that we never thought we would have said at the beginning of the season. So, Terry, what are your thoughts?
I'm still waiting on him to go on the injured list for pulling a muscle I've never even heard of, but it hasn't happened yet. So, but he, as Charlie said, he has pitched phenomenally well. In his last 7 starts, the Red Sox have won 4 of those games. So 4 out of his last 7 starts have been wins for the Red Sox. In all 3 of those starts that the Red Sox did not win, Paxton only gave up 1 earned run in all 3 of those. So he wasn't the reason the Red Sox lost. So he's been lights out. You know, the velocity's been up around 97, 98. He didn't punch out a lot of guys, you know, in his last start. You know, just had a kid. Maybe he hasn't been sleeping too well. Maybe it messes up the focus a little bit. But he's in the month of June, he punched out 9, 8, 7, only 3 against Chicago, and then 7 to close out the month against the Blue Jays. Like, he's punching guys out, punching tickets, as Dustin Pedroia would say. So we'll see. 12 wins, though. Oh, I don't. I mean, he's probably going to make what? That's in the last two months. Excuse me. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's probably only got what, 8 or 10 starts in that time frame, I think. So
it's going to be interesting. And you know, while Cody says probably not that the hottest take, I mean, this is definitely like one of the more feel good stories that the Red Sox have had this year. Honestly, it's probably top 2 or 3. Jared Duran's also got to be in that category for feel good after a disastrous 2022. He has just completely reversed his own curse. I mean, I hope it's true. I hope he does get 12 or more. Totally honest. Terry, why don't you hit us with your second hot take?
My next one, bear with me, is from Kevin McLaughlin. And he says, the Red Sox are turning Whitlock into Daniel Bard 2.0. Unfortunately, I'm starting to get Chris Sale, Clay Buchholz vibes with Garrett Whitlock. Dude just can't stay healthy. I mean, what was the diagnosis? A bruise on his elbow this time and no real timetable? I don't know if it's mechanics or perhaps just bad genetics on his part that make him not that durable. But you almost have to put him in the bullpen. If you want him to pitch all 6 months, it has to be for 1 or 2 innings at a time. It can't be for, you know, 6 to 12 innings a week. It just can't be. He's just not durable enough. His body will not hold up. And that's how Chris Sale is. I mean, with Sale, how many pitchers have ever cracked a rib by throwing a pitch and then fractured a shoulder blade. Like, what are you doing to your body during your delivery to make that happen to you? It's just, it's unbelievable. And those are the vibes I get from Whitlock. With Bard, it was a head thing. It was all in his head. And specifically, it was anxiety. And he had a bout with it this year where he missed a couple weeks. And then he came back. And then he had two scoreless outings at Fenway Park. If he was going to have a... If Bard was going to have a problem, it probably would have been at Fenway Park, because that's his haunted house. That's where his career essentially ended, you know, 8 or 10 years ago, however long it was. And Bard pitched well. But with Whitlock, it's physical. With Bard, it's mental. So I don't know that that's a really good comp.
Cody.
Series results aside, I think all of Red Sox Nation and everybody in general was excited to see Daniel Bard have success at Fenway Park again, you know, just to have that full circle moment. With all the things that he has battled, it was just good to be able to see him take the mound, have a successful outing. Unfortunately, it's against the Red Sox, but, you know, that's one of those things that's bigger than baseball. It is really unfortunate to see it again. And I think anybody that's been a fan of the team, you know, since the 2000s is kind of having those PTSD flashbacks, right? You had this elite level closer, eighth inning guy, ninth inning guy, whatever you needed two or three innings out of the bullpen. He got you. You needed, you know, you're in a jam, you need some strikeouts. He was your guy. And then they're like, well, what if, you know, it's that meme, right? Like the guy's walking with a girl and he's looking at the other girl and his first girl's mad at him, right? You know, I'm doing a poor job explaining this meme, but I think everybody knows what we're talking about. You had what everybody dreams of in a setup man or a closer if you needed it. And then you're like, but what if we just mess it all up for no reason? Unprompted, nobody, you know, maybe Whitlock's having conversations or whatnot, or, you know, we needed to have an extra starter, but you fixed something that wasn't broken, and now it's broken for real, and you're not getting any of that value, right? They were keeping him on a pitch limit restrictions. You know, occasionally they would let him go a full seven, but it boggles my mind for this organization on top of any other organization to do it, right? Because we had that experience with Daniel Bard. We had somebody that was lights out, didn't have to worry about it, and we messed it up, and then we're just going down the same path again, you know. It's only a mistake if you don't learn something from it. And it's apparent that we did not learn anything. And that is, to me, the biggest blunder, right? It's just a bummer. You know, Terry made a great point. The difference between mental and physical, sure. You know, Whitlock just can't stay healthy, absolutely. But why do we even put him in that position, right? You know, relievers are making good money now, too. It's not like it's a contract thing. Sure, you can make more money as a starter, absolutely. But nobody would pay him starter money because he's not a starter, because he's not pitching. Right. So, you know, he got that extension. You can say, hey, man, we can make this more incentive laden, hit 75 innings, hit 80 innings or whatever it is as a reliever, you know, hit this many strikeouts and we'll give you that bonus money or, you know, whatever it ends up being to get you into the starter realm. If that's really what this is about, get creative with the solutions. Don't put them in the rotation because it just hasn't worked as, you know, as much as it kills all of us to watch.
So, when Daniel Bard left the Red Sox in 2013, he was done. 2 years before that, he had a very ugly 2-9 record, which was bizarre. He had a 3.33 ERA and was recognized as one of the best eighth inning arms, period. Not in the Red Sox organization, not in the American League East, not in the American League, in baseball. And it wasn't disputed. If he was in there, you were getting the eighth inning handled, no problem. Then the experiment happened. They thought, let's see what can we do the following year in 2012. Completely fell apart. ERA blew up twofold. Couldn't get anything done to save his life. In 2013, two games, one inning pitched, and was done for the next 6 years. Literally, not heard of. Went into, I think, if I'm not mistaken, became a coach and then came back to being a reliever with the Colorado Rockies. And everyone thought, what? D- Daniel Bard is back. I thought he was done because he was 28 years old, was discarded, put on top of the pile, put the cards away, hang up the cleats. You're done, son. And 7 years later, after that fiasco at the age of 35, refines himself as a closer, not as a reliever, not as a starter, where he should have remained. Never should have been made into a starter. Biggest mistake we ever made. I'm curious to know what would have happened with Daniel Bard if he never was made a starter. And here we are 10 years later, and we've learned nothing from that mistake. We've learned nothing. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Garrett Whitlock was paid to be a reliever, not a starter. Paying him as a reliever and then making him a starter, to me, seems like BS. I thought that was crap because, to Cody's point, relievers are getting paid pretty good money. Chris Martin is getting paid $8.5 million a year to be a seventh, eighth inning arm. Why in the world did we ever think in a million years that that experiment was just all of a sudden going to work the second time when it absolutely blew up in our face the first time? He hasn't been injured once. He hasn't been injured twice. He's been injured more than that. And that's only what we're being told. It blows my mind. He's not a starter. He is a reliever. Put him back in the bullpen. Let's end this nightmare. As Cody mentioned, again, I strongly support that message of make it incentive-laden. He pitches 80 innings, 100 strikeouts, something like that. Give him an extra million or 2 million, whatever you want to do. But God almighty, please get him out of the starting rotation. It's a disaster. The issue with Bard happened when he was 28 years old. Garrett Whitlock is a year younger than that, and it's the same thing. 28 is when he was done. 27 is when Bard started experiencing the same issues. It is literally Daniel Bard 2.0. I 100% agree with that take, and yes, it is happening, and the Red Sox need to figure it out by not doing that anymore. Terry, anything you want to add?
Well, the problem this year is they've kind of made their bed. I mean, they desperately need a Whitlock to join the rotation. I mean, you can't have two bullpen games a week or every five times through. So I think that's why Whitlock's been in there. You know, when he had that ulnar neuritis, I was thinking, well, if he comes back, he's certainly going back to the bullpen. Guess what? Went right into the rotation. I mean, it just seems like everybody's a reliever. Everybody's a failed starter on this team, except for Brian Baio.
We have options. They're not the prettiest options, but having Whitlock in the starting rotation, if that's your option, just expect him to go back on the IL again at 1 point or 2 points. I mean, that's literally what you're basically telling us.
For the rest of his career.
For the rest of his career. That's pretty much it. He's a one or two inning appearance guy. You get the next two, 3 days off, games, days off, play around with it, and hopefully the schedule kind of works out in favor. That's it. Stop messing with the system that's not broken. It's just ridiculous. Cody, what was your second hot take?
My second hot take comes by the way of SteadyEddieDraftDive.com. Crazy that Heim told Kike this year would be different, and now he's not good enough to stay on the team, period. Yikes, period. I definitely remember that kind of moment in the offseason, right? Kike was kind of waffling. Was he going to come back to the Sox? And we were all begging him on bended knee, man, we can't do this without you. Kike, you got to stay. You're one of the bona fide, you know, major leaguers that we've got on this team, electric and outfield, gold glove type defense. Please, please, please stay. And that pretty much turned on its head. I think this is an outcome that none of us would have predicted in the offseason. You know, Kike has, you know, said all the right things, did all the right things in spring training, was looking like he was going to be the team leader, the shortstop, a proverbial captain, if you will. And he's just kind of played his way out of that role, unfortunately. And another thing that's, you know, kind of crazy to see is when he's on the grass in center field, he makes great plays day in and day out. His bat comes alive, but we've got a logjam of outfielders now. Durant's played himself into the everyday conversation, to Cora's chagrin, it appears. You know, we have Duvall now, and where do you put this guy? This is an embarrassment of riches, or, you know, one guy that potentially just kind of fell out of favor, you know, whichever way you want to look at it. But it's definitely an unexpected outcome that I don't think anybody could have foreseen. Charlie, what are your thoughts?
I'm happy to weigh in. Terry, is there anything you want to go, or do you want me to go right into this? Because I can talk for days.
Go ahead.
All right, cool. So this is going to be real cute. This is going to be fun. I get to actually use this, and I'm really excited. So steadyeddydraftdive.com, Anthony Chamasco or Simasco, I apologize if I butchered it. Not intentional. Here's the bad news. I finally get to say it. I'm so excited. The reason why Kike Hernandez came back for the umpteenth time, and this is not directed towards you, but this is just for anybody listening, is because we promised, we told him, we will build a better team in 2023. And while he's not great, that team that was built around him and the rest of the team, however you want to look at it, is partially because of Kike Hernandez. It has nothing to do with Chaim Bloom and other people on that team. Kenley Jensen, Chris Martin, Justin Turner are there all because of Kike Hernandez. If he goes back to what he should have been, which was a bench role player and not a starter, I think we see a much better Kike Hernandez. Kike Hernandez in 2021, his first year for the Boston Red Sox, had 20 homers, 60 RBIs, hit around 250. The last 2 years, which included a, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't it a hip injury that really derailed the season last year?
Last year, yeah.
Right? So over the last 2 years, he's played in 170-some-odd games, got 12 homers, 76 RBIs. He's still hitting around 220. The batting average is still 220 from last year. That hasn't changed. The on-base percentage has gone down. The doubles number has gone down. Sluggage OPS have all gone down. The strikeout numbers have ticked up a fair amount. But here's the thing. We tried to make a not starter into a starter. Are you kind of getting where I'm going with this? If you're not a starter, don't try to convert someone into a starter. It didn't work with Garrett Whitlock. It's not working with Kike Hernandez. Kike is someone now at 31 who just is not that starting guy. Who's your starting center fielder? Jaron Duran. Who's your starting shortstop? We got a plethora of options, and one, I'm going to have to eat my own toast on this one, which sucks. Adalberto Mondesi was someone who I was really excited for, could not wait to see him come back in, and it hasn't happened. Trevor Story, not back yet. When he comes back, he will be the de facto shortstop, which will push Kike Hernandez into that bench role, which I promise you, and I will eat toast again if I'm wrong, will dramatically change his numbers both offensively and defensively. Right now, he is not good enough to be in your starting rotation because he never should have been on that starting rotation lineup, period. I completely understand where you're coming from saying he's not good enough to stay on the team. I still would have Kike Hernandez on this team rather than some other names. You guys already know who I don't like, and sometimes they have good appearances. Folks, we just faced Oakland. Everyone should have a good series. But here's the other bad news, too. If you get rid of somebody who you promised and committed $10 million to, we promise, like we're looking for the team around you, and you sell him, you DFA him, you trade him, you do whatever to him, and he's not a member of this team by the end of 2023, you have effectively told players in Major League Baseball, Boston is not a destination city. Boston is not a place that treats its players well. You already have players that have left Boston that have said the same thing. And maybe that's part of the reason why they weren't doing well. And that's part of the reason they tired. They stopped having fun. He is literally one of the only players on this team that you cannot get rid of. You cannot do it for all the reasons I just said. He's the reason why players came to Boston. He is not a clubhouse cancer. He is someone you want to have in. When is the last time that someone ever said anything bad about Kike Hernandez? I'll wait. It hasn't happened. I can sit here all day, all night, and I'll wait until next week. It won't happen. It just won't. I could keep talking about Kike Hernandez. I won't speak poorly about him. Yes, he's having a rough season, but Jesus, as rough as it is, we would not have had some of the players that we had on our team without him. And I can continue to go in a circle about everything I've just said, but I will stop. And Terry, I will let you have the floor because I'm starting to get a little heated.
Another way to look at it, and I thought you were going to get there, you know, in part of your take, Kike kind of blew it too. I mean, he was handed the reins at shortstop and he just couldn't do it, you know, so that is part of the problem. The Dodgers after 2020, I mean, Kike was on that team. He was hitting home runs in the NLCS against the Braves and, you know, had some big moments, with the Red Sox in the 2021 playoff run. But at the end of the day, the Dodgers knew he was not an everyday player and the Red Sox thought he was. And it's just another example in a long pattern of the Red Sox misidentifying what players actually are. And Charlie, you did kind of mention that with the Whitlock thing. And I mean, we've seen it before. I mean, they tried everything with Franchi Cordero. They tried him in right field. They tried him at first base. You know, they keep trying to force things that aren't really a thing. And, you know, it is what it is. And I think Kike Hernandez, I mean, to me, he's kind of like one of the stalwarts of the Chaim Bloom era. Me not being a Bloom guy, you know, can't wait for some of these guys to be gone. But yeah, I mean, there's a real possibility Kike Hernandez will not be with the Boston Red Sox on Friday when they go to Chicago. There is a possibility, as crazy as it sounds.
So thank you for eloquently filling in the little Mad Libs gaps that I left there, the little breadcrumbs. Because, I mean, here's the thing. Yeah, the Dodgers didn't value him the same way that the Red Sox thought, okay, cool, let's give him a chance. The Dodgers and Red Sox have had a long, long time relationship of having players not work out for one team and then get sent over there or end up at the other team, you know, as for as long as I can remember. You think about Nomar Garciaparra, who was an original longtime Boston Red Sox, went to the Chicago Cubs, played for the Oakland A's, ended up playing for the Dodgers, ended up winning Comeback Player of the Year as a member of the Dodgers, if I'm not mistaken. Not looking at his numbers, I think he had like 20 homers, 93 RBIs, something like that. And then we had, of course, mega trades, you know, the David Price and, you know, the David Price being shipped out over there. Then you had, you know, Josh Beckett and, you know, Manny Ramirez, like all of these guys that have gotten traded and sent out west, and players that have come east too. But here's the thing. I will be very vocal about it and I will be very PO'd. I will try really hard not to say that word on the air because I'm very good about the language, at least on the air. If he is not a member of this team by August 1st, I am going to be really, really upset. Really upset, because there are going to be a bunch of players that become free agents and players that are going to have their eyes open for cities. And I guarantee you, if Kike Hernandez is not there, Mookie Betts left. Mookie has opened his mouth about it. JD has left. He's opened his mouth about it. I don't care about JD as much as I care about Mookie, and as much as I care about somebody like Kike Hernandez, who's an all-around good guy. I guarantee you the Boston Red Sox team will be crossed off the list of teams that they want to play for. Terry, go ahead.
I brought this up recently. I'll bring it up one more time. How much money did Kike Hernandez cost himself by taking this one-year deal? Because next year, I mean, how much is he really worth this winter? And you look at a guy like Christian Vasquez, who got a three-year, $30 million deal from the Twins. I'm going to say that's probably about what Kike would have got had he just said no to Chaim Bloom and then entered free agency. Despite being injured last year, he was still that 2021 playoff run was still pretty fresh at that point. So I think he would have gotten a pretty good free agent deal, and he's going to be lucky to get $5 or $6 million next year. And I would not be shocked if he's relegated to a minor league contract with a team, you know, much like Raimel Tapia was this year. And, you know, Jorge Alfaro and a lot of other players.
Yeah. Cody, anything else you want to add to that one?
Yeah, I mean, we can always play the what ifs, right? Did he cost himself money by turning down, you know, potentially other deals outside of Boston? But this is a player that has had success in Boston. It wasn't like we were selling him on a false set of goods. You know, he played himself out of those potential earnings, right? Had he continued to produce at that 260, you know, I don't think we're expecting 20 bombs because that seems to be above, you know, player value. But even if it was just average offense and not all the errors that he has committed, we would be fine, right? It's he's playing subpar defense and he's not hitting, right? And, you know, or it's, you know, he's playing in a position that he's theoretically out of position at, right? We loved him in center field and he still played well in center field this year. Is that a Cora decision? Is that a lineup decision? Is that a front office, you know, makeup of the roster? You know, we can pass the buck around and that can be a discussion for another time. But had he had a similar statistical year to 2021 or even, you know, 2022, you know, aside from the injuries, we'd be happy to cough up the amount of money because of what Charlie has said. The value that he brings off the field is immense. You know, we're not expecting him to be kind of the, as the offense goes, this guy goes or vice versa. That's not his role. His role is, you know, to provide the spark and a little bit of pop here and there, but we don't, you know, kind of rely on him necessarily offensively. So, you know, I think the ball was still in his court to have money to be made. I push back on that a little bit.
Right on. I mean, it's just one of those. It's just one of those players that I think we all have players that we like, that we enjoy. And outside of baseball, these are all people and we wish them nothing but the best. And we just wish that things kind of went in a different direction. This is one of those guys that if he ends up leaving Boston, if he ends up playing for another team and does really well, I will cheer him on. I will cheer every single time he comes to the dish. If he's not a member of the Boston Red Sox to that point, Terry, I know you mentioned that it could happen. Right on. So that is going to bring it to our final hot take. This comes from Dan Bouch or Bouch for Boucher, Boucher. If Sale was healthy, the Sox would 100% be buyers. A rotation of Sale, Bayo, Paxton in October would have been lethal. Dan, thank you so much for taking the time to write. I would assume then by hearing saying that you feel that this team is going to be a seller. But bringing on one of the earlier hot takes that was discussed being that of Nick face the facts 15. Paxton could win 12. If that ends up being the case and Seo comes back along with Bayo and Paxton have been a lethal 1-2 monster. Chris Sale comes back. Great. Awesome. We still have a couple of red flags that we have to address. No question, though, your team would be lethal. No question, your team would probably be buyers, maybe get a couple little pieces because you're not going to trade the farm to get pieces, you know, into the playoffs this year. Because even if you were to add another starter, another bat or two to this team, this is still not a team that I feel can win the World Series right now. They could get to the playoffs, but they won't win the World Series. Again, thank you, Dan, for your for you taking the time to write to us. Terry, why don't you go in first and then Cody wrap it up.
Here's the bad news. Chris Sale was never going to stay healthy under any circumstances. It hasn't happened since 2018. And arguably he was not healthy in the playoffs. Remember the belly button flare up, AKA too much ibuprofen because the shoulder was messed up. He was never going to be healthy. And even if Chris Sale was healthy, his ERA in the month of October is north of 6. Just not a very good October guy. Great in the month of April, May, and June. Not so great in the autumn. So, I think it was incredibly stupid on Hein Bloom's part to assume Chris Sale was going to pitch 150 innings because that's the rotation that Bloom came into the season with. Sustainability was a huge question, but He seemed to assume Chris Sale was going to go 150 innings, and he didn't.
Cody.
I mean, yeah, it's a pipe dream, right? You've had one guy that hasn't put a full season together in the majors. You know, he had a great second half of a season, but yet to see him do it start to finish. You know, knock on wood, he continues on as he's been keeping on in Brian Bale. And then, yeah, you've got two other guys that we haven't seen pitch a full season since, boy, I don't even know how long, right? I admit on paper, it sounds great. It would have been wonderful to have that opportunity, you know, the way that Chris Sale was pitching prior to his injury this year and the way that Paxton has come back. And if we could have pieced both of those together, I think things look a lot different. And, you know, it would make sense to be buyers, and, you know, we could maybe patch together, you know, Duval Hernandez and maybe a little bit better of a prospect for somebody else. But it's an unfortunate gamble that had long odds that, you know, we have been bitten by, as it is currently.
It's, oh man, like you never would have thought that going into the All-Star break that we had taken 8 of the last 9 games saying what we're saying and then reading some of these takes and whatnot. But realities are a part of life and a crucially rough reality that the Red Sox are going to be one of the biggest, like, kind of Cinderella slash headache teams in the second half with spans of highs and lows with easy and difficult schedules. And it's not like easy, hard, easy, hard, easy, hard. It's like really easy or really difficult. And there's no in between. And that's kind of what it feels like. You start off great, then you got a rough patch, then a little easy again, then it gets ugly again, then a little easy. And then we wrap up with, I believe, Baltimore and Tampa Bay for 6 games, if I'm not mistaken, not looking at the schedule, but that's tough. That's going to be brutal. And I think there's a really good chance if the team all gets better, and let's assume for 1 second, Chris Sale comes back, no more injuries, which I know Terry believes is impossible, but miracles do happen. And Bayo and Paxton pitch out of their mind, and the Red Sox get in there, and then you get to that last 6 games. The last 6 games. Do you trust the Boston Red Sox with Sale, Bayo, I think I just combined their names, Sale, Bayo, and Paxton, with the rest of the team there to get you into the postseason? I can't say yes to that. And I don't know if either one of you two could, but I can't right now. Cody.
I mean, if Captain Sale, captain of the Sale fan club can't do it, I don't think any one of us can.
And I love Chris Sale, and you guys know that. Chris Sale was my first Red Sox jersey, and I absolutely will love him. I won't say anything bad about Chris Sale. You know, truthfully, if he was, I'd buy him a beer. You know, like totally a cool guy, but unfortunately just really, really unlucky with the injuries. And I know Terry thinks he'll get injured another 4 or 5 times in the rest of the season, probably. I don't know. But you want nothing more than for Sale to pitch lights out and to pitch the way he did the first year he was in Boston when he was just absolutely lethal. Challenged Pedro Martinez for, I believe, the record for most strikeouts in one season as a member of the Boston Red Sox. Anything else you gents want to add? Nope, right on. Excellent. That is going to wrap it for all of us here tonight. We want to thank all of our loyal listeners and to our first listeners as well. We appreciate all of you. Everyone have a great night. Take care.